In developing the grant, the U.S. Department of Education gets some inspiration from the Harlem Children's Zone. That's a New York program that incorporates healthcare for students and social services for parents into its education model. In a conference call earlier this week, U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan said that placing the schools in the center of an at-risk community and aligning local resources to address its needs will lead to success.
We know poverty is a factor in education, and we must do everything to address it. But poverty is not destiny. Educators, parents, and students are proving every single day what poor children, children coming from very tough communities, can do all across the nation when we give them real opportunity.
The Federal Promise Neighborhoods Grant is now in its second year. Last year, it awarded what officials call planning grants to 21 communities out of an applicant pool of more than 330. Those grants had a maximum amount of $500,000, and the entire program was allotted about $10 million. The program will get $30 million this year, a fraction of the $250 million President Obama had initially wanted. This year, the program will still fund planning grants, but will also award a handful of communities that have already laid the groundwork. Jim Shelton is Assistant Secretary for Innovation and Improvement at DOE.
This year, we plan to award 4 to 6 new implementation grants to help take these plans into implementation so that we can actually see these communities provide the kind of services that address the education and health and safety issues facing the children in their communities.
He said the department will favor applicants who seek a more comprehensive approach to education.
We really want to make sure that family engagement comes through as a priority in many of these promised neighborhoods. And in particular, we've seen many successful communities, engage in adult education as a primary strategy in that. We'd like to see more proposals include that strategy as well.
Shelton added that the eligibility criteria for the grant has been expanded to include a population that's no stranger to snubs from the feds.
The negative effects of poverty too often plague our nation's Indian reservations. By including Indian tribes as potential applicants, we hope to further expand the portfolio of great work happening through this program and improve vital education, health, and safety services provided to American Indian communities.
Grant recipients have to come up with matching funds of up to 50% of the federal grant amount, and they have to come from public-private partnerships. Despite the economic squeeze that currently dominates both sectors, Shelton said he thinks those who get the awards will figure out a way to come up with the match.
We don't anticipate, especially because it's both a public and a private match, that there should be any difficulty in meeting the match requirement. In particular, you have to remember the full scope of services that are included in this, and so the various kinds of public funding that we would be available to use in the context of the match.
As for the question of whether a grant program that only benefits a handful of communities is really worth it, Shelton said it's more of a chance to demonstrate the effectiveness of this type of approach.
Where you could highlight the best examples of the work across the country, create examples and practices and systems and tools that would be of benefit to the broader community, and then communicate out what those effective practices are and share those tools with lots of folks that are engaged in this work.
Larkin Tackett is Deputy Director of Promise Neighborhoods. He said in the years since the program launched, the grant money has already gone a long way.
The Promise Neighborhood Planning grantees have had the time to really go deep into the community and address issues that, you know, really have long been neglected over time.
Shelton said even the communities that applied for but didn't get the grant have seen positive changes.
One of the things that we learned from last year's process was that even though we only gave out 21 planning grants, many, many communities actually continued the work without the benefit of federal support. It is our hope and expectation that many communities will continue this work again without federal support, and that by being able to fund the programs that we are given the funds available, we'll be able to support them through good information and other resources.
He said one of DOE's big questions is whether the grants can be sustained in the long term.
Sustainability is one of the most important things that we can figure out about these models, especially in communities where there are not large troves of philanthropic resources.
Last year, 9 Florida community groups applied for the grant, including one in Tampa's Sulphur Springs neighborhood. Not one Florida applicant was awarded a grant. For WMNF News, I'm Kate Bradshaw.